Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
I want to go back to eulogies and just see Paddy Smith. Good afternoon.
How are you doing, Joe? Good afternoon to you.
Your brother was buried a week ago tomorrow.
Yes, he was buried last Thursday, and he was buried in the church up in Talla. And he spent 26 years in the Defence Forces.
Okay.
He would have 26 years. He spent at least 6 years abroad with UN peacekeepers.
Great, fair play.
I was a member of the Defence Forces myself, and all my family was. But when he passed away, we got a guard of honour of him, which is pall bearers from the Defence Forces, which after doing for 21 years in the army.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to that, we were asking the Defence Forces to put the tricolour on the coffin, and everything was going yes. So we went to the priest and we said it to the priest.
Yeah.
And the priest said no tricolour on the coffin, nothing on the coffin.
No tricolour for a member of our Defence Forces.
Correct. No tricolour whatsoever. Now, I did say, and I said it through haste, I shouldn't have said it, but I said, if that had been President Michael D. Higgins, there'd be a tricolour on his coffin today in that church.
Rightly so.
But he point blank said, no tricolour. He didn't even allow a picture on the coffin. Now, he did allow a picture in the at a table alongside the coffin. It wasn't on the coffin like they always, some people do have the picture of the person on the coffin. And plus, when we handed up his medals, he just said, got up and he said, Mick spent 30 years in the Defence Forces, and he spent so many years overseas, and he has his medals to prove it, but just in a little tricolour on the coffin.
Was there any occasion within the church or its precincts that there was a tricolour on the coffin?
No. No, we wouldn't allow the tricolour to go into the church with the tricolour on it. What he done was, when they came out of the church, outside the church, they put a tricolour on the coffin outside.
Outside?
For going into the hearse and for going up to the graveyard.
But it wasn't even at the end of the funeral mass that somebody could walk up and put a tricolour on the coffin as it was brought out of the church. No, that wasn't allowed either.
No, the army carried the coffin out of the church with no tricolour on it. You wouldn't allow a tricolour on. And I fully believe that. I said to myself, it's wonder people won't go back to Mass. Myself, I said it. Yeah. And to me, it's wonder people wouldn't go back to Mass. Is that they're making up their own rules in these churches as they go along.
Okay, I don't know. What are the rules about flags?
I don't know. Well, I always did say that when a tricolour is a tricolour, and if someone served so many years in the Defence Forces, they should be allowed a tricolour on the coffin.
Yeah, because the tricolour was on his epaulette for every day he served.
But every day he served for the
put himself in danger,
It's correct, and he was in Nyamba ambush as well.
Oh, wow.
He spent two trips in the Congo, the 33rd Battalion, and he's with the 35th. And he went to Nyamba ambush at the time, and I still thought it was very wrong that he wasn't allowed to put a tricolour on.
Okay.
As I say, I was a member of the Defence Forces for 30 years myself, and I'm a full believer that a member of the Defence Forces is getting ready. If they want to have a funeral mass with Paul Bears, they should be allowed a tricolour on the coffin.
Of course, I can.
And just two point blank, no tricolour on the coffin.
Okay. Well, God rest him, Paddy, and thanks for your service, and indeed for his service as well.
No, what
was his first name, Paddy, out of respect?
His first name was Mick Smith. His name was Michael, but we called him Mick.
Of course, okay, God rest him, yeah. Thanks, Paddy. 51551 Joe at RT.ie.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Francis, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Tell us what you did. It's very, very moving and very courageous as well. What were the circumstances?
About a year ago, I lost my best friend to suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And it completely broke me. I completely And it was coming, we were obviously arranging her funeral.
Okay, okay. Francis, we're going to try and get a better line because it's such an important story to tell. Stay there, Francis, we get a better line. Brian Daly, Brian, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And your issue is you were involved in filming funeral masses and broadcasting them. But some, you say, well, are we surprised? Some priests have different attitudes to others, is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. I live stream funerals in Cavan, Monaghan and Meath. And some are very pro because they understand the family, you know, the worst time with a family member dead, and somebody, sometimes in America, people, as we all know, people can't get home from America, but Australia, New Zealand, they may be home when the person's unwell, and they go back from within a month, the person could die, and sometimes they can't afford maybe to come back a second time within a short duration. And my issue with it, because I listened to the programme yesterday and earlier today, and what I can't understand is that we said the World Meeting of Families was held last year, and people from all over the world came to Ireland to see how families work. And so when they can bring people from all over the world and the head of the Catholic Church to Ireland to sort of talk about the family and the family unit and how important family is to society and to religion as well, but yet one practitioner of that particular church can say to a family, no, I'm sorry, we can't have a reading, or we can't stream to a son or daughter. Or
some priests would object to the camera, would they?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They seem to have their own authority or their own idea of what should happen at a funeral in a church. Now, as I said, the some are very positive, but it must be very, because people...
And why would I know a lot of them are positive, but those who say no, why would they say no? What reason did they give you?
I'm not being racist or anything, but they seem to be an older set, you know, people who may be set in their ways and may not have had thinking that this is technology we can use to get it to people abroad. It seems to be just a particular set and not being ageist older priests.
And by the way, is there money involved? You have to pay a church to stream.
No, well, not.
Did the family have to pay you? I suppose.
The family do what? There's a lot of equipment involved with things,
but it's
generally either the funeral undertaker or the family contact me. I do liaise with the priests that are happy enough to do it.
Well, I've been at funerals that have been live streamed, but I didn't know it was the cameras.
Oh well,
they're very discreet.
They're very discreet. I put sometimes two, maybe three cameras inside a church. I don't have camera people on the thing for that very reason. Maybe one outside for the hearse leaving or coming. So it is all very discreet, and they have music there. So sometimes you just wonder the thinking when they have people singing. An extra camera within the church for the benefit of the family abroad. You just wonder.
Okay. Francis is back there now. Francis, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Sorry about that.
Okay. Your best friend unfortunately died by suicide, and what the eulogy you were told in that diocese, eulogies were not allowed.
Yes, eulogies weren't allowed, and there was kind of no way that there would not be a eulogy. I was the most important person in the sense of, like, I was the closest person to her in her life. And I wanted to tell everybody about my best friend, and I wanted to make sure everybody knew that they weren't this dark soul that had troubled life and, oh, wasn't it to be expected that she was to go this way and all this kind of stuff. I wasn't having them come in and her fit into their stereotypes. I was going to tell them how important that she was, how talented she was. I was going to make sure that they, when they left that church, they knew that she was such an inspiring individual and that I would miss her so much. So the Mass was happening and I was sitting up the front row.
Yeah.
And it was coming to the end of the Mass and the priest came down to bless the coffin.
Mm-hmm.
And as he came down, I just stood up and walked up to the podium and I just stood there and I looked out across the congregation. I was shaking.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew kind of was looking at me from the coffin, and I was like, well, I'm just staying here now. And okay. I didn't even know when to talk, because I didn't want to disrupt the service at the same time. So he finished blessing and he came back up and said a final prayer at the altar. And then he looked over at me and gave a nod. And I respected that nod so much, because I knew if I, by standing there, he couldn't make a scene.
Okay.
He couldn't tell me to get down. So it was like, if I can get there...
They could turn off the microphone, Francis.
Oh, I was going to say it. I was going to project then.
Well
done. I was going to make sure that everyone knew, that the congregation knew how special this person was. And that there was no way that they were leaving there thinking that my best friend had just been this troubled dad. So, no, they were going to know how brilliant they were.
Okay. How long did you speak for, Francis?
It couldn't have been more than 5 minutes. It was very short.
I'd say it was wonderful as well, and so important. And did the priest say anything to you afterwards?
No, we never said anything to each other.
It
was a miserable day, so it was kind of like, it was pouring rain, and it was couldn't have happened. You couldn't have said the eulogy in the graveyard.
Of course.
Miserable. We never said anything, and I often thought afterwards I should have kind of even gave, you know, a little kind of like, thank you for letting me have that moment, because I knew I was breaking all the rules, but... There was no way I was not saying my piece, and that was it. That was in my head.
And the heavens didn't fall in.
No, nothing happened.
Yes.
And it was so important, because there were people there who would have only known her through family or known her through, you know, not the way I did. Yeah. And it was so important that they realised just how brilliant that they were and how they'd left their mark.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to have my say, just to say that I could, because I felt I was representing them, you know what I mean, through the words. And I felt that was a huge responsibility, and it was probably one of the most important things I've ever done is say that eulogy.
Okay, well, maybe, we're told the church is always changing. I think the overwhelming response we've been getting in the last few days when we start talking about this is that people believe... Obviously, people make mistakes in eulogies, and they bring up, as was the recent incarnation, if you don't mind that word, of the rail, which was someone brought up beer and all. People do make little mistakes, but God, they're not cardinal sins, to say the least.
No.
And that why a diocese would have a blanket ban in eulogies is very hard. Okay, Francis, kind regards and above all condolences on the death of your best friend, as you described her. Thanks indeed. That's Francis. 51551.